say it's complicated.
Good Monday morning and welcome to Canada's Pinball Podcast. It is not even 7 a.m. here in New York time, but I'm going to record a little, it's not really a special edition, just a little miniature version of Canada's Pinball Podcast because I finally had a chance to play Star Wars Pinball this weekend. That's right. I was able to go to Jack Bar in Brooklyn, New York, and not only do they have a Star Wars Pro, but they also have it dialed in. So I was able to go back and forth between the two games, and I want to give my assessment of what that was like and the game itself. Now, before I do that, I do have to sort of give a disclaimer about the conditions in which I played Star Wars. Jack Bar is a bar, so there is a lot of background noise. You could not hear the pinball machines very well. They don't have the games up very loud. I actually prefer the volume of the games at Pioneer's Bar in New York City. But also, Jack Bar is smaller, and there's more games sort of in close proximity. So if they had their games turned up, they really wouldn't be able to have music going at the same time in the bar. It would be headache-inducing. So I understand why the game volumes are not that loud. So let's get right to it. This is I've been talking so much about Star Wars, so much about Dialed In. I've asked people to send me their thoughts on both. I've asked people who have both to email me and come on the show and talk about it, and nobody has. So Kaneda does what Kaneda does. Kaneda gets into his car and he drives to Jack Bar, parks out front, walks in, and what does he see? He sees Crazy Levy there playing on Star Wars. Part of me just always laughs because it's always the same guys playing these machines in New York City. It's a little crew, and I get it. It's cool. And I was actually happy to see Levy there because I was able to talk to him about the game. He was able to help explain some things to me about the game itself. Now, your first impression when you walk up to a Star Wars pinball machine, first impression is the artwork isn't as bad as we all have been sort of screaming about, but it's also still not good. Okay, what do I mean by that? I mean, in person, you don't get this just sort of nauseous feeling when you see it. It's almost, because we see it online, we've seen so many pictures of it, it is what it is. It is what it is. I still think when I look down at the pinball machine, there's just not a lot going on. I mean, it's a very, very barren game. So I jumped on, I played a few games, and my assessment after playing a few games of Star Wars is it's a fast game. It's a really fast game. It's not as brutal as people were saying. I fully expect it to lose the ball pretty quickly, to have incredibly short ball times, and that really wasn't the case. I do really like the fact that the game is fast. I do like the fact, too, that you can trap the ball pretty easily. It didn't feel like there were any cheap drains. And coming from a game like Ghostbusters, where I can never really get over the flipper gap, I love the way that Richie does make the ball return to the flippers, and you can control the ball. And I enjoy that. I don't want pinball to be unnecessarily frustrating. I think it's hard enough to complete modes and hit the exact shot you want to hit without having the designer make the lower play field unfair with balls jumping over into the out lanes and with balls having a huge flipper gap to go down. Okay, so there's that part of it. I think in Star Wars, I did notice that you're always seem to be just shooting the corners. There's the TIE fighter shot in the middle. There's a loop around shot right next to the TIE fighter that's on the spring. That's kind of cool. You shoot it up the middle, loops back around. But you know, it's a game where there's not much to shoot at, and what you're shooting at is normally arrows. It's normally loops, ramps. It's a lot like, it reminds me a lot like AC/DC. It reminds me a lot like Game of Thrones, where it's hard to explain. So like it's all about like hitting the flashing arrows. Now, I didn't get to play that many games, but here's my take on what I did. I played about like 8 games in a row. So here's my take. I still just think it's a Steve Ritchie game. And when I think about the Star Wars universe and then I play this game, I think Stern has gone against its own formula. And when we hear from Gomez and we hear what Stern's philosophy is that the game should be underneath the glass. Now, I don't think I've looked up more in a game than I have with Star Wars, because the game is not just under the glass. You're always looking up at the LCD, picking modes, combining modes, figuring out when you have to hit the button on the apron. There's just a lot of looking up that's going on. And there's also like a lot of looking up because there's clips from the movie. And the first thing I noticed is that Stern puts too much information. If you're spectating someone playing Star Wars and you look up at the screen, there's just way too much information and stuff that they're trying to communicate on the back box LCD. It almost reminded me of, not as bad, but of The Hobbit, where they've got all 4 scores going on. They've sort of got this X-wing cockpit sort of display. That seems to be like the default background as stuff is going on in the game. And there's just like all these little areas with boxes and text, and some of the text is really small. And it's just really not intuitive to look up and to know what to look at. I think there's just way too much going on, and I don't really want to look up there until maybe there's a mode or there's something that I know that I need to like glance at to see. But if you go and you play Aerosmith and you look at how they integrated the LCD into Aerosmith, and then you look at what they've done with Star Wars, I just think that Star Wars is really confusing, and there's just way too much going on with the LCD. And I'm also just not a fan. I'm just not a fan of the whole combining of modes. I was watching Levy play, I was watching other people play, and I'm just not sure why you're taking a movie like Star Wars and you're bolting together different scenes from different films into one selection for the player. Right, it's a pinball tactic. It's sort of Dwight's sort of approach to pinball is this mode stacking and multiplier approach to pinball, and it's not intuitive. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't feel appropriate for a movie that has one of the best. And this is like, man, just kept eating away at me. Star Wars has one of the best linear narratives ever. There's a reason why we love Star Wars, and it is the progression of the amazing story of Star Wars and how things unfold. And I just felt like this game just didn't care at all about trying to recapture that, trying to recapture the storytelling elements of Star Wars that we love. And the way the Star Wars story is told is done in a way that creates an emotional and a visceral response to what we see on film. And I just thought all that was thrown out. I felt like this wasn't about progressing through the Star Wars movies in a way that really paid tribute to them in the right way. And in the way Lord of the Rings pinball really makes you feel like you're in those modes from those movies at that moment in the pinball machine, and you're solely focused on completing that mode. There's not all this other stuff going on. You're not stacking things. You're not trying to multiply things. In Lord of the Rings, like the only other thing you're doing is trying to activate maybe multiball while you have a mode going to make that mode easier. But in Star Wars, I just feel like there's always so much like complexity unnecessarily added to a mode or to an approach to bringing the Star Wars universe to life. Because I think they wanted to make a tournament players, a pinball players, pinball machine, not a pinball machine that Star Wars fanatics would fall in love with. And that that's just a decision they made. I just think Star Wars is a theme where you need to make it so the Star Wars fanatic is loving and enjoying it and gets immersed 100% into what's going on, and then make it also a great pinball machine. I think they made it a Steve Ritchie, Dwight pinball machine, and then just threw a bunch of Star Wars stuff on it. And there's no like greater sort of moment in the game itself where you take one of the most iconic scenes in Star Wars, one of the most iconic moments of a Star Wars film are lightsaber battles, right? So I think I activated the lightsaber battle between Luke and Darth Vader, and the way the lightsaber battle works is you hit the pop-up force targets, okay? So you're trying to knock them all down, I guess, to get through the lightsaber battle. And I'm doing that, right? And I'm hitting them, and then the screen shows the clip of Luke and Darth fighting. And I just turned to Levy and I said, you know, is it just me, or just hitting those targets absolutely feel like the most sterile and boring way to show a lightsaber fight in a pinball machine? You know, if you think about all the different ways you could have Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader swinging lightsabers at each other, and you as the player are activating that mode, and I just felt like everything in this game, when it comes to physically seeing what's happening in the Star Wars universe, those iconic scenes we remember and love, when it comes to physically seeing something happen, something the ball triggers, it's all on a screen. Everything is on a screen. There's hardly anything that brings those iconic scenes to life physically. And when I look at it, and I look down at it, that's my biggest problem with Star Wars. And playing it again just reinforced it for me. You're telling me that they couldn't have designed a mechanism or a toy that actually had a physical Luke Skywalker and a physical Darth Vader, and when it comes to a lightsaber duel between the two, you're telling me that they couldn't do something creative with targets where when you hit them, the two mechanisms actually clash lightsabers, you get that sound when they light up, and how amazing would this be? Just picture this, okay? Picture this. Pinball game. You activate a lightsaber duel. All the lights in the game go out except for the lightsabers on the characters. Okay, so the whole thing goes black, and it sets the mood for like Darth Vader versus Luke Skywalker in Return of the Jedi, right? When they're fighting, underneath that area with like the grating and all. It's like just the coolest backdrop. So the whole game is dark, looks like that, and the lightsabers light up, and you have to hit certain targets, and when you do, the mechanisms move and they clash lightsabers and you get that amazing sound, and then maybe like all the lights flash when they hit. Like setting a like that's my thing with this game. It's like there's absolutely nothing under the glass that just is like, oh my God, wow, watch, you gotta see this. There's nothing. There is nothing in it that takes an iconic Star Wars moment and does something physical that brings that world to life. It's all switches, targets, and LCD screens. That's it. And if I want to watch Star Wars, if I want to watch clips, I can always watch the movies. Even when they play the clips on the LCD screen, it just reminded me of like having a gateway computer 25 years ago, 30 years ago, when video clips first made their ways into old PC games, like the way they'd have like a little window with playing some PC like video footage, it looked like that. It just didn't look like this amazing usage of the clips. And you know, I see people on Pinside sort of boasting about the amount of clips they're going to use, the amount of multi-balls, the amount of this, the amount of that, the amount of that, the amount of multipliers, the amount of bonus points, the amount of blah 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 blah, and it's like all that adds up to bullshit, because I'd rather, in a Star Wars game, have Han Solo and Carbonite sort of pop up and become maybe a bash target, maybe something else, like something like a lower playfield, something. There's just all the things you could do, all the things you could create inspired by the Star Wars universe, and this is what they end up with. And I'm sorry, it's just a pinball machine with a lot of digital stuff going on. It's all about scoring. It's like if you look at a pinball machine in two ways, and I always have. If you look at a machine where who cares about scoring the most? Tournament players, like hardcore tournament players, they're the ones who care so much about the score. I would say who cares about having the people who want to just have pinball fun, they want to see magical things happen in the game. They want to see the ball do something really incredible. They want to see elements of that theme come to life under glass in the most cool way possible. It's not so much about the score. Like, there are people who just absolutely love a game because of what the game physically does. And then there's people who love a game because of what the game, like, does score-wise. And the score-wise people could give two shits about the magic in the game because all they care about is winning their tournaments. This game is made for pinball tournament players. That it is that simple. If any attempt to sort of bring the Star Wars magic to life in this game relies 100% on LCD screens and Christmas tree lighting. Again, even when I see the lighting, I'm just like, it's just the same old. It reminded me of Game of Thrones, like all these colors going, all this stuff happening, color, you know, arrows going from blue to green, and no indication of why that's happening or like what's the point of that. A game needs a tutorial to explain all these things. What else? The TIE fighter on the spring, yeah, it wasn't as terrible in person. You hit that, and then it starts the hurry up, where you have to smack the apron button and it blows up the TIE fighters. Again, all very distant, all very sterile, all very on a screen. And that's my big takeaway from Star Wars, is I think Stern is really relying way too much on the LCD screen. Do me a favor. Remove the LCD screen from Star Wars and then force someone to play it and say, without looking up, do you see all the elements of Star Wars that you love on this playfield? Do you see it? Now, walk that person over to the Simpsons pinball party and say, do you see the elements of the Simpsons and that you love on this playfield? And that's my big problem, is I think if you walked people over to Ghostbusters and said, do you see the elements of Ghostbusters that you love so much represented in this game? And they would say yes. And I think they would say that with Simpsons Pinball Party. But I still think Stern continues to struggle at times on bringing a world under the glass. And no one struggles more with that than Steve Ritchie. So it just, again, it makes me so curious as to why they gave the most incredible world ever created, the biggest movie franchise of all time, gets handed off to someone who clearly is not about bringing the world under glass to life through physical elements. And Steve Ritchie is all about ramps and switches and this and that. And this is what you get. So my opinion of Star Wars as I played it is that, you know, it's fast. And I'll say this, though. I mean, I'm going off so much about what's not there. I'll say this. The game is also, it's fun because it's fast, right? So a fast pinball game that has good flow, that has good shots, is fun, okay? So all pinball, where the shots are not clunky, where the shots return to flipper nicely, where the ball moves with, and things don't frustrate you, is fun. It is like, remove Star Wars, remove Steve Ritchie, remove everything. Flipping a pinball around a playfield when the geometry is done right is fun. Okay, so yes, is it fun to flip Star Wars? Yes, it's fun. It's fun watching the ball go around. It's more fun
than reading a book. You know, so it's like it's a fun experience. The lights, the sound from Star Wars, the balls moving. All of that is true. Like, you will have fun flipping this game because it's got good shot geometry. Okay. But I don't think you can look at Star Wars through a lens of it's a successful Star Wars pinball machine if the game is just fun on a pinball geometry level. I think Star Wars pinball deserved a game where there's magic happening under the playfield, okay? And there's nothing there. You are not going to be able to point to your friends and say, look at what happens here. Oh my God, when this swings out. Oh my God, when that happens. Oh my God, when Hong comes in the carbonite. Oh my God, when the Hoth AT-AT walks across. Oh my God, the land speeder. Oh my God, you hit this and it raises like the Ewoks raise the cable and it hits the land speeder. You know, there's like nothing. There is nothing physical from any of those games. Like, even just opening up the hatch, like in opening up the door, you know, when they have to blow up the shield, like they could even just had that. You physically have to open up the hatch and then the ball goes in and then you blow up the shield. Like, nothing. They could. Here's another thing. Imagine this. Imagine if you say, Kaneda, design me Star Wars pinball machine. I want one major element that utilizes magnets. That's incredible. Okay. You know what I would have done? How can you not do this? I mean, the ultimate battle is to defeat the Emperor. How can you not have an Emperor in his throne chair sort of pop up or swing around, like rotate around? And there he is with his background. You know, if they wanted to do an LCD screen, they should have done an LCD screen in the back box. The whole back box should have been like a long, narrow LCD, and it should have like looked like space, like you're looking out into space. I would add the Emperor's throne chair, and I would have the Emperor firing his, you know, from his hands come like firing his lightning bolts, and that comes at you like the lights coming at you, you know. Maybe he even like force grabs. How cool would that have been? Like, you're firing balls at him and he's like grabbing them in midair, and they're just suspended there, and you get another ball and he suspends another one and all the balls are there and all of a sudden they start moving sort of Magneto style. I don't know, man, just something like that. You're not going to get it. It's never going to happen. You're going to get balls moving around a hyperdrive, and you're going to get a little ramp that shoots up into the Death Star. And that's the only real difference you're going to get in the premium LE. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. So I think Star Wars is going to be a game that a lot of people are going to try to rationalize as being amazing. I keep hearing from people, I mean, our friend Bezel Boob is back on there saying it's the greatest game ever. My friend Chris at Cointaker says it might be Stern's best. And I think people who are saying this is Stern's best machine ever, I think those people might be solely code people and tournament people, and they aren't people who really are that, who really have an imagination, who really dreamed about what this could have been. You see, when I spend $9,000 on something, I want it to feel like it is the dream of the designer coming to life. I want it to feel like he didn't have to cut any corners to get this game out. I don't feel like this game is the result of anyone dreaming of the possibilities. I think this is a game that's a result of designing to the limitations of a license. And so that's why I don't even think it may not even be Steve Ritchie's fault. I think it's just Disney and Lucas might have hamstrung them. I don't fully buy that, though. I still think what they brought to Lucas and Disney to approve, like if they had brought this amazing Han Solo and carbonite mechanism in the lower playfield, if they had brought an Emperor's going to fire his lightning bolts, you know, if they had brought like physical lightsaber battle between Darth and Luke where all the lights go out and show Disney, here's what we're thinking, I have a hard time believing they would have said, no, you can't do that. Because they control the art for sure. But man, see, because not having those physical things on the game required them to make the art so photoshoppy and have everything drop down too, because you could have gone a completely different approach with the artwork. Who says the artwork has to have all the characters? If the characters are represented with mechanisms and toys in the game, then you don't have to have the characters and all the flat-looking art on the playfield. Could have done it differently. So I think this is going to be a game people justify for a long time. I think people are going to have fun with it. But I think it's going to be a game that gets pretty pretty stale after 6 months after owning it, because I just think it's not going to be the game that wows people when your friends come over. You're going to explain to your friends, hey, look, combine these modes and hit all these lights and do all these things, but that's about it. It's not going to, you know, I can walk people over to a Tales of the Arabian Nights, and they will be wowed by, like, Bashan the Genie and the disappearing magnet and the, you know, the shooting star on the outlanes. There's so many elements that people can immediately, like, eyes light up. Good luck getting that with Star Wars. Okay, so the second part of this, and then I got to go walk Bubba. He's walking over to me, and the sun's coming up. The second part of this is I got to walk over to Dialed In right after Star Wars. And the first thing you'll notice when you go from a Star Wars to a Dialed In is, wow, Star Wars makes playing Dialed In feel so slow. So slow. I was like, oh my God, I mean, this game feels like I'm underwater right now compared to Star Wars. And so, to Star Wars' credit, the speed and the flow and the fast nature of it, there is an excitement and an energy and an addictiveness to a game that plays fast. So I give people that. The same way people love Iron Man. We love seeing pinball machines whirl around quickly, and we love speed. There's just something about it. Now, Dialed In is the complete opposite. It takes a while to adjust to Pat Lawler's game after playing Star Wars. I have to admit, when I first got back on Dialed In, I was like, oh man, this game is like slow. And I could see how someone could get on and be like, this is slow and it's boring compared to the pace of Star Wars. I could see how people could do that. But you've got to give yourself a time to adjust, because they're apples to oranges. For those people who have been asking, which one should I buy? I think it's not a question of like Star Wars versus Dialed In. I say people have always recommended this, that you want a fast game with flow, and it's good to balance that out with a game that's more stop and go and has, you know, more going on in it than a flow game. You know, I wouldn't say that like Dialed In doesn't flow, but it's not a speed game per se, the way Star Wars is, the way Iron Man is, the way AC/DC is, the way Star Trek is. So they complement each other, because they're completely different approaches to pinball, completely different approaches. I'll say, I've given my reviews of Dialed In and my assessment of Dialed In. What I still like about Dialed In versus Star Wars, more than the fact that yes, like there's so much more in the game, you get way more for your money, there is that world under glass. I'm not going to reiterate this, I've said it a million times. But the one thing I really like is you never have to look up with Dialed In. You never have to look up, ever, to see what you're doing, to select modes. Everything can be done down on the playfield. In fact, you could basically take away the back box LCD. You wouldn't get like the emoji mode and the selfie stuff, but you could completely take it away and make your way through the game of Dialed In. I like the way that everything is communicated on the playfield itself. Even the way they've done the LCD screen on the cell phone, much better implemented than what Stern's doing with the LCD screen with the TIE fighters and those drop those targets. Stern does not really know yet how to use LCD screens. They're still learning. They're not quite sure like what information to put there. They're not sure how much, like what size font, what size text. It's only game number 3 for them, so they're going to figure it out. But they definitely don't have it dialed in, no pun intended, on Star Wars. And Dialed In is just, I don't know, to me, it's a mode-based game. To me, I like the lower scoring better. I actually feel like I can understand what does what and what gave me what points. And I was talking to Levy about Star Wars scoring. It's just like, you know, sometimes I don't even know what I'm doing, and I'll get a bonus of hundreds of millions, and I don't even know what I did. Sometimes I feel like I did the same exact thing, and I played a longer game, and I didn't get any bonus. And that's what I don't like about these new approaches to scoring, where it's the guy who studied the manual of every single thing. He's going to be able to understand the nuances of how these multipliers work. It's all bullshit. Like, just make it so it's, you know, you understand the scoring by what's going on in the game, and it's not so complex and confusing. But again, they made the game for people who want the complexity. For my friends out there who listen to this podcast, who love the deep, complex codes and modes, because they think that is what makes a game a keeper. You know, there is that camp of pinball players. To me, what makes a game a keeper is a game that has magical stuff going on under the glass and a game that is beautiful. And yes, it needs to have some really good modes and codes and all that stuff. And like that's why I still think Lord of the Rings, the greatest implementation of a trilogy theme ever in a pinball machine. Lord of the Rings blows Star Wars away. It blows it away in every way. It is such a better game in every way. It is far more well integrated. It is such a better way to play the three movies. I always feel like I understand what film I'm in, what mode I'm in, and what I love about Lord of the Rings. I was thinking a lot about this because there's two trilogies that everyone loves, and here's how Stern brought them to life. I love that every shot in Lord of the Rings is attributed to a character. So there's, you know, there's Aragorn's sword. There's Legolas's loop, you know, ram shot that loops around like his bow. You know, there's Gimli's shot. There's the Shire. There's Gandalf's shot. There's Boromir and the pop bumpers. Like, you know, you begin to identify each section of the game with one of the Fellowship members, and you learn exactly where each one is. So when you have to hit it, you know exactly what to hit. It becomes secondary, you know, second nature. Star Wars is not like that at all. It's like this LCD at the beginning where you pick your character and it's a mountain of like text and all these different modes to start, all these different options. It's so silly. Imagine being like Frodo. You pick Frodo from the LCD screen, and then you have to like pick your skill shot, pick your multiplier, pick your this. Do I want Frodo to go here first, or there first, or there first? That's what Star Wars is like. Which direction do you want to send Frodo in right now? It's like, it's so silly. So you're like, you're sending these characters in different directions, but, you know, with points attributed to it. It's not about the film. It's not about the narrative of the movie Star Wars. It's all about pinball. And that's my problem with it. And you could say, Chris, you're an idiot. This is a pinball game. Yeah, but you don't bastardize the way the narrative and the emotion and what Star Wars brings to the table and throw so much pinball shit on top of it that what makes the movies special and those that feeling you get from the films is so distant because it's so much more of an emphasis on a pinball score or mode or you know, it's just too much pinball, not enough Star Wars. And that's my overall assessment of it. Dialed In, I think, is a complete opposite. I think you never have to look up at anything. Much better built pinball machine, but it's slower. You might not like Dialed In at all. If you want a fast, flowy game, then you're not going to like Dialed In compared to Star Wars, and you will like Star Wars. The final point I'll make is when I was talking to Levy, I looked down at Star Wars. The game looks like a $5,000 game. I mean, it's just, you're not going to see the value there in the LE. There's no way that an LE is worth $9,000. I fully expect, if Star Wars turns out to be such a great game that I'm so wrong on, I fully expect tons of LEs to be for sale a year from now for $7,500, $7,000. There's so many of them. You're not going to see the value there. People are actually going to be able to mod these things so much better with help from the mod community. They are. You're going to be able to get the rails in a better shape than they are. All this stuff will be upgradable for much cheaper. All right, the music's coming on in my living room right now, which means I'm ready to say have a great Monday, have a great beginning to your week, and we will talk to you real soon. And send me an email at canadapinball@gmail.com if you disagree with anything I'm saying. And we will keep discussing these two games as they get into more and more homes. Have a great day, everyone. No matter what you say.